Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Hallelujah. Holy is your name, God. Holy are you, Lord, and worthy to be praised. Amen. Well, the Lord gave me a word today, and I don't know who this is for, but what he impressed upon my heart was that he is our ever-present help in time of need. He's our very present help in time of need. And I don't know what everyone's going through here, but I want to speak that out to you here today, that we have a real God, amen? We have a God that isn't unaware of our needs and our circumstances and the troubles we go through. That doesn't mean that we won't go through troubles, because Jesus said, in this world you will have troubles, but to trust in him and hope in him and make him our hope and confidence, amen? So I just want, if you're going through something right now, I don't know if it's financial, I don't know if it's health related, but I know there's more than one of us in here that's really needing our ever-present help in time of need. And so would you just lift your hand up? And I want the other members of the body of Christ, thank you, all over this room, this is your chance to get infilled with the Lord. He sees you. He knows you. He knows. He spoke to me and said, there's people in here that really need that part of who I am, that ever-present help in time of need. And so thank you. If you see a hand around you, would you just reach out and touch that person? We're going to pray for these needs. Amen. So stretch your faith out with mine, and let's reach up to heaven, and let's ask, and let's call down that miracle that these people need. Amen. Father God, we come to you. We look to you. God, sometimes we just are overwhelmed. And God, we know that you say that you are with us, God. Even in our storms, you're in our boat, Jesus. And so right now, I just pray for these people, God. These ones that are at their wits' end, God. The ones that just really need your help right now. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, minister to them, God. Lord, would you just meet our needs? Jehovah Jireh, be our provider. Jehovah Rapha, be our healer, God. God, I pray that you would just take and you would just make a miracle, Lord God, where there seems to be no hope. That's where you show up, Lord God, every time. That's where you become our strength and our source and our hope, God. Lord, we just thank you, God, for the many miracles that you're doing. And Lord, we thank you that you are with us, God. That you are God with us, Emmanuel. And we hold on to that, God. Help these people as they walk through their week to just see you at work, God. To recognize your hand at work, Lord God. And have testimonies to share next week, Father. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Nothing too hard for him. Well, happy anniversary, Collapse Church Ease. Right? Can you believe it's been a year? We're going to show that last week, but we couldn't get it all together. We had some technical difficulties. But what an awesome journey, huh? We just want to take a moment and thank God for, one, just his hand of mercy and care on us to keep all of our young people and each one of us out of that building when it came down. And for the future and the hope that lies within the tragedy, that lies within the obstacle. There's a great opportunity in him, right? There's nothing too big for him. He's sovereign. He knows exactly what we need at exact the right at the exact moment. And we're right where he wants us to be right now. Amen? It's really good. That's really good news. And so let's just thank him for a moment. If you have young people that could have been in there the night before, like me, let's really thank Jesus for that. And let's thank him for the hope that we have in him. God, thank you for your love and your hand of care and your protection over us. We see that here today. And we thank you that we have no funerals because of this collapse. God, that we rejoice that our young people were protected, that we were protected as a church family. And we're just rejoicing with you in that. And we're thanking you, God, for what you have in store for us in the future and all of the great things you're doing in our lives and all the souls that are coming into the kingdom because of how good you are and all the people that are growing up and maturing in you because of how good you are. Lord, we lift you up. We give all of our church to you, every resource. God, we just hand it back over to you, and we trust you to manage it and manage your resources and use us, God, as your people to sow and to feed and to give and to sacrifice and to serve alongside you to see your great work here in this city and on this planet be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as you can see, we're still desperately in the middle of our building project, so I encourage you to just keep giving. Be faithful. Give faithfully, and if you want to give extra to our building project, you can do that. You can just designate your giving for that. You can do that online, or you can do that just here in our little giving boxes we have or our little iPad dealios in the back. So anyway, we need to work together to make this work, don't we? I'm telling you, we're like a quarter of the way there, probably. There's so much more to do, and we need the Lord to provide for us to do it. I'm really excited about what he has for us today. And before I get started preaching, I want to just pray for Walt and Mary Lynn Wood. Could you guys stand up real quick? And everybody just stretch your hands towards these folks. These are our missionaries out in Peru. This is their last church service with us. They've been faithful members of this church for 50, 60, 30 years. 30 years. They're like, dang, they look good. 50, 60 years, you do look good. They're planting churches and cranking out Bible schools and doing an amazing work in Peru. And people are coming to know Jesus. And it's an awesome thing. They're virtually reaching an unreached people group with Bible training. Now, these people have known the Lord, but there has virtually been no training and healthy training to plant churches and raise up really healthy churches until these guys showed up in Peru and translated an entire Bible school into the Quechua language and have done a great work. And they're in a major transition right now, building and moving, and the whole vision is taking off. So if you have a heart to go to Peru, I encourage you to do that. You have a heart to give to Peru and see souls saved and churches planted, you need to get connected with the Woods ministry there. And especially, let's pray that God moves in favor over them. Amen? So now you can stretch your arms. If your arms got so tired they went down, do them now. Father, bless them. We speak favor and your grace upon them, God, that everything they put their hands to will prosper. And God, you will just anoint them for the great work that you have before them. God, we're believing you for hundreds of churches to spring up and thousands upon thousands of souls to be discipled into your kingdom. And God, we're just praying for protection and most of all wisdom over these awesome people, these awesome leaders in your kingdom. Bless them, lead them, and guide them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. We love you. We're going to miss you. We'll stay in touch. Okay. Easter services 9 and 11 this coming Easter, whatever day that is. March 31st. Awesome. We're going to have two services that day because you can tell it's going to be difficult to fit, you know, 20% more people in here when our Creasters show up. You know, Christmas, Easter folks always show up. Creasters. That's all pastor talk. Yeah. Christmas and Easter's. Yeah. Anyway, that's exciting. We're growing. God's doing really great things. So one of the things we're going to do is have two services just for that Sunday for now. And we're going to see how it goes. And we definitely need some faithful members to choose to go to the 9 o'clock service so we can make sure that when our new visitors show up, which the 11 o'clock service is when more people show, we've got enough seats so we don't have visitors that have to stand. Amen. Good plan. So show up, and you guys can, we'll fight it out who goes to the 9, who goes to the 11 that day. But it'll be great. It'll be good. We want to welcome Cheryl Waldrum from Texas, or Sherry, whichever one. Looks like Cheryl the way it's written. I've heard it both ways. Sherry Waldrum. This is Scott and Brandy's mother. Well, Brandy's technical mother and Scott's mother-in-law. She's here visiting, our worship pastor. So thanks for being here. And her niece. What's her niece's name? Peyton. Peyton, good to see you. Thanks for being here. Welcome to Alaska. Okay, before I get even weirder, let's preach. All right. Hey, we have... I guess I'm supposed to do this too. If you're new to Abbott Loop, we want to encourage you to grab one of these in the back. It's got all the information you need to know about us and who we are. I think it has a message in here now. I can feel it. It's a CD, worship CD, complimentary worship CD from our own worship pastor. Got to reach through the center of the bag. There's a learning technique. Don't reach through the handle. It's difficult to pull things out. All right. Great CD. All kinds of other goodies in here for you. Free coffee in our Bonhoeffer deal. But you can grab that in our information booth in the back. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. I've been preaching a series out of 2 Peter. And I had a couple other messages that sort of came out of the last part of this series that was titled Living for the Grand Entrance. And I just felt there was a little bit more in here that we should dig into and stick around and kind of chew on. And, there's something really important that I think God has for us to understand. And it's about the hope and the dream and the life that we're going to live in eternity. And the question is what are you living for now? And in fact, when are you living for? Is a great way. And I'll kind of unpack that a little bit. But the title of my message today is Don't Sell Your Birthright. Don't sell your birthright. But you have to understand you have an inheritance. You have to understand you've been given something at salvation. You've been given something to live for, a race to run, a life to live. You're a masterpiece before God. And really in Romans 8:15 through verse 18, we can see that there's a great life for us. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. Right? Can we go next slide? Yay. Sorry. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. So what we suffer now is nothing compared to what we're going to receive as sons and daughters of the Most High God, of the King of Kings. See, this whole passage just tells us that when we accept Jesus, when we take Jesus into us, and we receive him for all that he is, then God makes us sons and daughters, children. There's an adoption service. You're no longer an orphan. You've become a son or a daughter of the King. You matter and you belong. And when you matter to the King, you get all of the resources, all of the inheritance of the kingdom. It's beautiful. So you are heirs. You actually have something because you've chosen Jesus that belongs to you. And it's your birthright. It's your inheritance. It was given to you when you're born into the kingdom. So 2 Peter 1:10 says this. So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see our life knit to action in the kingdom. Our kingdom life is knit to our behaviors. It's knit to our action. See, as we come to know Christ by grace, his grace saves us, not anything we have done, but everything that he has done. But as we cross into that kingdom, we've now been empowered for a life that is destined for a grand entrance, that is destined to live in this glory, the inheritance that has been purchased and given to us. And that's done by the grace of God living in us. Hebrews 12:1 says this, and I preached a message last week really focused on this passage, that therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially sin that easily trips us up, and lets us run, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. See, there are things in our life that we can do that can compromise the blessing that God has in store for us. Not our salvation, but the blessing that God has in store for us. And here's why I believe this is not only because he says, strip off these weights that slow you down, that steal from you, that rob the destiny God made you for. But it goes on in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. It says, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. New covenant, right now we're new covenant, talking about the grace of God, talking about our life, born into Christ Jesus, born into the new kingdom, born into the glory of God through Christ. We're talking about we can trade the future potential life, the kingdom of God alive among us right now, experiencing that. We can trade that for a bowl of soup like Esau. It can be done. And I just want to fan a flame to us all today to live for the eternal kingdom and not live for the bowl of soup. Okay? Like, let's not trade our birthright, the inheritance, the promise God gave us, for a bowl of soup. Genesis chapter 25, verse 29, we find Esau. One day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, I am starved. Give me some of that red stew. Jacob replied, but trade me your rights as the firstborn son. I'm dying of starvation, Esau said. What good is my birthright to me now? Say now. Right. What good is my birthright to me now? But Jacob said, first you must swear that your birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. In this moment, he showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn. He basically hated his rights as the firstborn, or he didn't value them to the appropriate measure he should have valued them. He didn't value the blessing of God. And so here's that was promised to him. And so we need to understand some things about birthrights and inheritance if we're going to understand what God is really trying to show us here, and what really happened in this exchange with Esau that we find in the New Testament coming in Hebrews and trying to say, don't do this. Here, it's critical we know about birthrights and inheritance. It's not about a person's death, what they pass on in material possessions. Birthrights are not about what we pass on, but it's rather about what you're born into. See, it's not about what you get when someone older than you dies that cares about you. It's about what you're born into. Birthrights are not about death, but about life. And see, Nicodemus couldn't get this when he was with Jesus. We find him in the New Testament. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nick at night, he comes over right to Jesus's, you know, little campfire or whatever. And he starts asking him, yo, what is the deal with you? And he says, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus can't get this. He says, when you choose me, you are born again. You have a new life. See, you're dead, Nicodemus, in your sin, and you have no future, no hope, no future, no eternal life. But if you choose me, then you will find eternal life in the Son, in the Messiah, me, Jesus, is what he says to Nick. And he goes, then you'll be born again. Your old life will be passed away. You'll have a new life now. And Nicodemus is like, I don't get it. He goes, and you teach people? Come on now. Let's break it down. A, B, C. Right? That's great. We've got to get the basics here. The basics are when we choose Jesus, we're born into his family, born again, new. There's no other way into the Father except through the Son. No other way. Period. None. Nada. Zip. Nothing. Any other way, you're going to fail and you're going to come up short. Too big of a deal to just gamble on. You've got to know that you know that you know that when you choose Jesus, you're choosing life. You're choosing to be born again. a new kingdom life. So if you haven't chosen Jesus, I encourage you to do that today. Don't walk out of here without choosing Jesus so you can be born again, born anew into the kingdom. And it doesn't stop there. And for everyone who's chosen Jesus or you're thinking about doing it, this is a good thing. From there, you're born into the kingdom. Now you have what Romans 8:15 says is now you're an heir, you're a son, you're a child of God. And you know this is true because the Spirit joins with, His Spirit joins with our spirit that we are God's children, to affirm that we are God's children. There's this affirmation in the relationship that you just begin to know in your heart, God, Daddy, Abba, Father, I love you and I know you love me. It's real. It's tangible. You can touch it with your own life. And then we know from that place, we're children of God. And if children, then we're children, then we're heirs together with Christ of God's glory. So what is this inheritance? Man, it's God's glory. It's the promises of God sent down to you and I. See, now Jacob or Esau did not understand what his birthright was all about or didn't value it appropriately. That birthright was far more than the material possessions of their father Isaac. It was the first and foremost, the promises of God, the covenant and oath given to Abraham and passed down from generation to generation. And in despising his birthright, Esau showed that he was a complete materialist and had no concern at all for the special relationship with God granted under the covenant with his father or grandfather Abraham. This is really important to know this. See, later Jacob, he was far from blameless in plotting out to have the birthright confirmed to him by his father. He was pretty tricky and deceptive. He did his own dirty deed. But his actions showed that he considered the relationship with God the most important thing. The blessing, the birthright. This is why it's kind of confusing. You go, well, why can Jacob do all this junky stuff and he gets away with it when Esau, all he did was sell his birthright? That's the key. See, the key is the birthright represented the promises and relationship with God in this moment in time. See, God promised Abraham that he would be the children of God. He would father the children of God. And then through that, it'd be like the sands in the seashore, the stars in the sky. And they would have a relationship with God through that. And he would send the Messiah through that line to save all the people of the world. And he promised to Abraham that he would be blessed by God to be a blessing to all the nations. That's you and I here today. That promise right there, Esau did not value us. He couldn't see us. He didn't value our relationship with God. He looked at that promise and said, I'm hungry today. I need to eat. He wasn't living for then, he was living for now. And you need to know when you are living for. Are you living for now or are you living for then? Right? But if you don't understand what's been promised to you, that the promise of right relationship, righteousness, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit, that is the kingdom of God. You were promised that in Romans 14. You're promised to live a life full of the kingdom of God right here, right now. Not only that, but you're promised to be an ambassador for Christ, having the ability to transfer the relationship you have to make a way for others to know Him too, to make disciples as Jesus commissioned us to do in Matthew 28, right? And then Acts 1 and 2. He commissioned us to make disciples and to love people. He didn't make us, like it says in 1 Corinthians 3, for just to barely get into heaven with flames licking our britches. He didn't make us for that lifestyle. He made us what it says in Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10, right? That we're His masterpiece, made beautifully before the hand of God for a great purpose. He destined before the beginning of time. Masterpiece. God doesn't make mistakes. Even in your limitations, He doesn't make mistakes. He's so good. He has such a perfect plan. And all the suffering and all the inconsistencies we might see throughout life. Listen, all of those things, God is so much bigger than them all. He can work them all in and weave them all in as the Redeemer to fulfill His will, which is to get His people, promised people, into right relationship with Him if we'd only choose Jesus. And then if we would only choose to recognize the inheritance, the birthright we have, and not trade it for a bowl of stew right now. Don't trade it for a bowl of stew right now. Don't give up the great promise to share in the glory of God, to experience the kingdom of God now and forever for the now, to fill your belly now, to fill that loneliness you experience now. See, there's times when we just experience really hard feelings and we have hard emotions and life's hard. Some of those things happen to us and they're traumatic and they leave these giant gaps. And we want to fill those things with what we can grab onto right now. We all do this. I'm just like you. We're all 99.9% the same in this way. We all have gaps. We all got junk. And we all have brokenness that happened to us and things we've done to ourselves. What God is saying is live for then. Live for your life with Him in eternity. Says this, that you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus when you choose Him. You are not a citizen of this world. You're a citizen of heaven. You're designed to live there, not here. You're designed to be in the world, but not of the world. Right now, you are made for a grand purpose. You're made for a grand entrance into the kingdom of heaven. You and I need to live that way and not trade our life for the bowl of stew right now, just to fill what we need. Like Esau said, I don't know about all that stuff in the future, but I'm hungry now. Feed me now. Right? Our lusts, right? Our hurts, our loneliness, they cry out, feed me now. Fill me now. But when we do this, when we allow ourselves to feed and fill our flesh right now, we begin to trade the birthright. We trade the kingdom then for the pleasure now. Matthew 25:34, this is talking about our salvation. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from creation of the world. You got to read Ephesians 2 verse 8 through 10. To complement this scripture, we're talking about choosing Jesus. And Jesus, His grace is what saves you. It's not your work. But you got to be saved if you want to inherit the kingdom of God. And then you have to live a life in the kingdom, in faith, to produce righteousness. If you want a reward in the kingdom of God, if you want to experience the kingdom of God now, then you have to live that way. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? We're not talking about salvation now. Talking about inheriting the kingdom of God right now in your life, participating in the glory, your birthright. Talking about giving up your birthright. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God now. Or there's no reward for that lifestyle in heaven. You're going to suffer for that lifestyle. That is like living right now to eat the stew. And this is not going around judging everybody that, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're doing all these things. Listen, each one of us has our own thing in our life that is driving us and pulling on these needs that is tempting us to fill now, to trade our birthright for the bowl of stew, for the now, to fill that need. We have to see that and we have to say, God, I don't want this fruitless living, this destructive lifestyle that is going to rob, steal, kill, and destroy my future in you, my productivity in you. My kingdom life in you, it's going to rob my righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God living now. I don't want to trade that for just the personal satisfaction of filling my loneliness now. Filling my hurt right now. My rejection, whatever it is. My addiction, whatever it is. Man, I just want you to get this. I want a fan of flame, not to to the sin and do this and don't do that, but fan a flame to your desire, my desire to live for my birthright and not trade it. Live for the promise, not trade it for the stew. That's what I want to do. Quit rhyming and I mean it, right? Sorry, you didn't notice I was putting a bunch of rhymes together. All right. Ephesians 3 says, we get to enjoy the promises of blessing because they belong to Jesus. We get to enjoy those precious promises, those blessings, because they belong to Christ and we belong to Him. Isn't that beautiful? Not because we earned it, because He did it for us. Promise to you, and you get to just live in it. But you have to choose to live in it. We need to know the value of what we are giving up or trading before we trade it. We need to know the value of what we are giving up or trading before we trade it. See, Esau, he did not understand or value what he was trading, and then he just gave it up so easily. I think sometimes we just live right now and we don't think about the fact that we really are living for heaven right now. We're living for our eternal life in Christ, and we just give it up so easily. We just click on the internet so easily. We just, you know, get angry and just blow up so easily. We just stop praying so easily. We stop pursuing the hand of God. We just click on the video game and just waste 10 or 15 hours so easily. 15 hours of your eternal life. What you could have traded for a grand reward was just lost. And your belly got bigger. Then it's harder to get up and do something next time, right? I think there's an average of what young people play on video games. This is us, parents. This is on us, not our kids. I think it's like 5 hours a day, at least, on average. Think about what you can do with 5 hours. It's almost an entire work day of your life. You know how deep of a hole you could dig in 5 hours? I've done it. I don't know why I like to dig so many holes in my life, but I dig holes. 5 hours a day times 365 days. That gets to be a big number quick. Times year after year after year. One of the young ladies in our church was like, I wish that somebody would start a man camp where they just teach boys how to be men. Because all they know how to do is play video games. Oh, snap. Chicks don't dig dudes that play video games. Just saying that. Chick digs dudes that can build stuff, grow chest hair, and like do work. Learn how to do something. Don't waste your life on the TV. Okay, now parents, this goes on you. You got to get rid of those stupid things. Kick them out. Blow them up. Blow them up. Hey, blow them up and videotape it, and then we'll put it on YouTube for me. Seriously, safely, this is the Nikiski in me coming out. Blow this stuff up. What good is it? I mean, what good is it if you keep it? Think about that. What potential reward do you get if you keep it versus what you trade? I'm not saying the Xbox is the devil. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, when are you living for? Now or for then? How are we training our young people? Not in religious, over-religious behavior that's fruitless, but how are we helping them genuinely build a relationship with their Father in heaven so they know they belong and they know they matter and He can be there with them when they're struggling through their life, and we don't teach them to fill their pain now with video games, with movies, with all this stuff, boyfriends and girlfriends and relationships. We've been doing this our whole life too. Come on, I got a church full of a bunch of hippies. Right? You know what I'm talking about. You live this way. And we're still struggling through the same things we had. My dad was a hippie. I know what it's like growing up with a dad for a hippie. and wonder why our world looks the way it does. Hippies are running the country. God bless them. God bless them. We're confused. We need Jesus. We're just lost. We can't just point fingers at each other. We need Jesus. And we need to pursue Him radically. And we need to see that we have an inheritance. We have a birthright. We have a blessing. And we can trade that blessing. But we don't have to. We can live now for the then. We can live for those seated places in heaven. And we can actually produce a life of righteousness that is so full of great treasure and reward. What is God's reward going to be like? Who knows? But it's better than any party I've ever been to. And I know how to have fun. I don't like to do anything unless it's fun. A lot of people go, my goodness, Tanner, you like to have fun. It's right. But my party's not even close to what his party's going to be like. Can't even imagine how important it is. We have to ask God for a deeper revelation of what our birthright and our inheritance is really all about. Say, God, expand my mind. Help me to know what I don't know about how important this promise is. Give me perspective to not live for today, but to see eternity from the beginning, to look at the end from the beginning in the name of Jesus. Come on, right, church? All right, will you stand with me?
Thanks, Pastor Dick.
So what do we do? I got a couple of just title slides. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses, right? The chapter before this is the chapter of a list of all the great men and women of faith and how they chose faith and struggled through life and produced a tremendous lifestyle that transformed our world. Since we're surrounded by all of them, let us strip off every weight, everything that slows us down. Is it slowing you down? Is there sin in your life that's slowing you down? Are there activities in your life that are stealing from you and robbing from you the great treasure and reward that God made you for? And let us run, not sit, not walk, but run. You're designed to run with endurance. Not a sprint and then fall on your face with endurance. You got to learn how to pace yourself. You got to learn how to run for Christ. The race that God has set before us. You have a race. Yes, it's a long race. You got a long race your whole lifetime called for you, not me, for you. And it's your race. You got to run it. Here's the point. We do this by, don't you think this might be important next? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Can put that slide up for me. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, right? Is that right? What is this passage? Is that the right one? Praise the Lord. Good. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter or the finisher of your faith. What he starts in you, he's faithful to complete. If there's anybody in here, there's some changes you need to make. You want to give your heart to Jesus. You're like, I know I was made for more than this. Today is my day. Today is the day of salvation, right? Man, if we confess our sin before the Father, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And all we have to do is believe that Jesus died for us. Confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ died for us, and that He was God, and He truly lived, and He was risen from the grave to pay the price for our sin. We can have an intimate and lasting relationship with Him. If there's anybody in the room today that you want to do that, I'm asking you to come forward right now. Just get out of your seat. Come down forward here. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I know you got to be bold to do it, but you can do it. He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. It's a faith step. I'm made for more than this. If that's you, I'm asking you to come down here and I'd like to pray for you. Anybody? Come on now. Be bold. Be brave. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I know I'm made for more than this. Anybody else? Jesus, I want to choose you. Now, lest we fill the entire altar with every single person in here, we're going to repent. God, forgive me if this is you. Forgive me for trading my life for a bowl of soup, trading my eternal destiny, the promises that you gave me. Forgive me for that. So we're going to pray for that. And then we're going to lead you guys to Jesus first. Let's do that. So if you would, if anybody else here in the church, you want to give your heart to the Lord, you can either come down, pray right where you're at. We don't want you to miss the opportunity. But let's pray together out loud. So Lord Jesus, I choose you today. I give my heart to you. I confess you as Lord, as Savior, and my God. I repent for my sin and receive your forgiveness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and every gift that you have for me. I choose to live my life for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. Well, I'm blessed for you guys. I'm really proud of you too. Before you go, can you guys just connect with these guys here and make sure that you, before you go, but church, let's pray. We do need to repent and we need to turn. Are you with me? Anybody else as convicted as I am about this message? I hope so. I'll tell you, I'm right in the heat of it with y'all. I've been thinking about it for the last 2 weeks. God just keep challenging my heart. Are you trading your life for a bowl of stew? Are you trading your life for the eternal reward that I made you for? So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, forgive me for mishandling your promises, my birthright, my inheritance. Forgive me, God. Help me to live the way you made me, the way you designed me for eternity. I choose eternity today. Help me, God, to strip off every weight that slows me down from the race you set before me. And I fix my eyes on you, Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. If you have any needs, you want to receive prayer for healing, you gave your heart to the Lord and maybe didn't come down, be bold. Don't be ashamed. Come, receive Christ. Come, receive ministry. The care leaders will be down here. Elders will be down here to pray for you and minister to you. But God bless you. Have a fantastic week and live for the eternal reward. Amen. We'll see you later.